CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. We are live, we are here. It is Tuesday, it's the 19th of October. It's a nice bit of throat clearing for the morning. Isn't that great? That's how you know we know each other. Because I'm not afraid to clear my throat in front of me. Lebung just gave the most disgusting cough I've heard in a long time. Like someone with emphysema. Jesus, it was bad. Now, there's a lot happening in that throat of yours. I don't want to know. Sounds horrendous. All right. Good morning, everybody. Let's do this. Where should we begin? I had a little tirade yesterday about, like, beauty pageants. I don't think Mbulelo and Leanne gave me any room to actually explain myself, so I got kind of annoyed. Because I'm so over people turning everything into politics these days. Even dumb stuff that doesn't have any real-world consequences. You know, you suddenly have to have political discussions with everybody. Everything has to be political. It reminds me of that song by Skank and Nancy. It was like in the 90s. Skank and Nancy was this crazy, crazy band with this woman who would scream. And the song was called, "Yes, it's fucking political." And that was the whole song. It was great. She was so angry. I suddenly thought of myself yesterday. I thought I must have sounded like that. Anyway, it sometimes takes a day for me to get over it. All right, got things to do and people to see and places to go this morning. Among other things, we will be joined for Africanalysis by Jean-Jacques Cornish, who I know you love. We're going to check in on some headlines. We're also going to go to some emails, which we haven't done for a little while. And This Is Us is happening at 7:30. So plenty more to keep you entertained and amused and enthralled this morning. First of all, Lebung, how are you? I haven't actually had you on the show because I was away last Tuesday and then I was away on Friday last week and I haven't seen you in the office. And what's going on?
Ah, dude, I'm chilled. I was actually going to say this feels nice. Look at us back together again. Hey, who knew? It feels like it's been a minute. Things have been okay, man. Things have been good. Just dealing with like whatever my throat is going through. It's just like this ongoing, you know, I don't want to get cured kind of energy that my body's giving me right now. And I don't appreciate it at all. It's nonsense.
You know, your body should be your slave, not the other way around.
Thank you.
Get on
with
it.
That's all I ask for. I don't ask for a lot. I don't ask for a million rand. I mean, I'd like a million rand.
Sure.
But all I'm saying is, body, bear with me. Deal with me. Love me.
Right.
But other than that, everything's cool, man. And I'm happy to see you guys again. It really does feel like a while. You know, you get used to seeing the same people and like this routine vibe. So like when I didn't see you guys like this last week, it was like something was just, you know, not there. But I'm glad you're back and always happy to see Mbulelo. Always.
Oh, really?
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it makes your. Yeah, like nobody's ever said that. Like,
no.
At 6 a.m, that's the face I want to see. There's no need to coddle me. I know you have a whole rugby team of kids who you have to constantly coddle.
She's good at it.
I'll be honest.
You're like, already brilliant without me, Lebang. Don't worry. You don't have to me.
When I walk into the office and I see you, there's a bit of like yesness that I feel. I don't need to show you. I don't need to tell you. As long as I feel it, real talk. I can't even explain it. I think it's knowing that, you know, I'm in the office sitting with like everyone, and then there's Mbulelo, this thing that I can't tap into, this thing that I maybe don't understand fully. It's curious. It makes me curious. So, when I see you, I'm like, aware, what's happening? You know, it's good vibes. It's good vibes.
You know, that's all very sweet that you two are either getting along or not. I can't really work it out, but I want to talk about almond milk. The only way to finish that sentence.
Oh, no. Oh, why are you sneezing, Gareth?
No, it's Lebung's fault. Okay. She's contagious. What did you... You were going to say something when I said almond milk. Go on.
That's the only way to drink coffee.
Right.
It's the only milk to have with coffee.
Okay, right. So that's what I'm doing today. I don't know if you could see that.
But very nice.
So I started on this because a friend of mine who just looks way better than I do and has always just convinced me, like, you know, you're fat and you're useless. And you've got to get into your you said you were going to do this diet, and which I've tried to do, by the way. Cut out carbohydrates, cut out sugars. So I lost like 4 kilograms in the first week, and then I don't know what happened. I kind of gained 2 back, even though I stuck to the rules. And so I thought, all right, well, if it's not that, I'm going to keep doing that, but what if it's the milk that I have in my coffee or tea? So I'll cut that out too. I'll do the almond milk bullshit. So I'm doing that now. I don't do sugar. So now my tea and coffee taste horribly different, but I'm getting used to them, right? It's amazing how quickly you get used to this stuff. Like in the beginning, you think, oh, this is horrible. I'll never get used to this. If I had to go back to sweet, sickly, milky coffee now, I think I'd be sick. And it doesn't take you long. It's like,
you have to sophisticate your palate.
Right. 3 weeks and you are into a new habit. And you forget what the previous thing it's tasted like. And then if you have the old stuff, you're like, ugh, that's gross. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it definitely happens a lot with dairy.
Yeah. And it shows you what I'm amazed by is it shows you how quickly you can completely recondition your body to like things you didn't like before. It's great, right?
21 days. Isn't that all it takes for like a habit to become a real thing?
That's 21 days. That's what they say, yeah. Do you believe that?
Definitely
not.
You don't?
Absolutely not.
What do you believe?
I know it's not true.
All right, tell us.
It takes like, it depends how bad your habits are. So if you, like, bad habits you can form in one day. Good habits to, like, I think habit is getting diluted now. People just think, if I do it 3 weeks in a row, I deserve a break. I'm in a new habit. No. It's like, can you do it for a year without people looking? That's a habit. You shouldn't have to think about a habit. You shouldn't have to celebrate a habit.
Margaret Thatcher always used to say, famously, her father, who was a shopkeeper, she used to say, and the reason I remember this is because we're doing a recording of Blind History today, and we're featuring Margaret Thatcher in one of the episodes. So she used to say, thoughts become words, and words become actions. And actions become habits, and habits become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. So watch your words, and watch your actions, and watch your habits, blah, 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 blah. She's right, though. You gotta watch everything.
Absolutely.
I've always said, like,
everything matters.
Words have such power, right? People just say, people say them. And they don't think, they just, oh, fuck you, or whatever. And then they forget that stuff lingers. And words create magic, you know, it's abracadabra. It's that whole idea of in the beginning there was the word and the word was God. Now, if you think about how powerful all of that is and how if the supposed creator of the universe, if we look at, you know, Judeo-Christian and Islamic tradition, God doesn't make a hand gesture to create the world. He uses words. So it follows that pattern. And even if you're not religious, you know very well how powerful your words can be, because you don't fight with someone by going out of the blue. You fight with someone when you say something, right? And it can be, you could also fix things by speaking the right words. And you can make yourself successful by using the right words at the right time. And you can make yourself tremendously unsuccessful by doing the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I've always believed in my own definitions that you've got to say what you think and you've got to do what you say, because that is integrity. So in all of this all this nonsense about words that I'm talking about this morning, and of course I don't mean that it's nonsense, I'm being self-deprecating, it shows you how much power you have every time you open your mouth and you're about to say something and you stop yourself and you know that you could have caused chaos if you'd said that thing, or that you could suddenly manifest something truly amazing if you said it in the right way and you meant it. And you could do this every single day. And so habits, these things that we change, are as a result first of words. You say to yourself, I'm going to do this. And then you start doing it. Before you know it, you're doing it so often, It is a habit. And this goes back to what Lebang said at the beginning. We get into the habit of seeing each other here every morning. And I think by and large, we are on our road to improving ourselves every time we all see each other. There's something I learn from you guys. There's stuff that I learn from the audience all the time. There's stuff that we all learn from each other. And so we're on this like constant improvement drive. Well, I certainly hope so. That's the feeling I get.
Yeah.
And if you know, if you're not getting that anymore, then it's time for you to move on, find something else to listen to or be a part of. But I think there's still a lot to be done. I want to show you something someone sent me yesterday, a listener of ours. I'm quite impressed with this person. This is from Coco, who's living in Norway. And Coco says, you guys were talking yesterday about owning or renting property. A common trend here in Norway, where Coco lives, is that carpenters between 25 and upwards own, without a bond, two or more properties. A certain guy who's 25 years old bought a house and renovated it in 3 months. He sold it in a week and made a profit of 2.5 million in Norwegian currency. What is that? Krona.
Krona.
I don't know how fast cryptocurrency grows, but this trend beats it. I'm seriously considering going into that industry, even at my age. It works if you learn to fix things. I started getting into fixing and making things as a hobby. See attached a picture of the modern outdoor furniture I built. So here's Coco's furniture that they built. Look at this. Isn't that great?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ragtag nonsense. That's unbelievable.
That's good, huh?
What?
That's incredible.
Shout out to That's DIY. So
yeah.
Wow.
I'm massively impressed with that. You know, I told you I built some shelves the other day. Well, I decided to take things up a level, and I'm not competing here with Coco. I'm not able to do that. But I fixed under the shelves, there's a counter with a basin in it, right? And then under that, there were two cupboards. So what I did is I bought one of those little bar fridges that you can use for wine, or you can use for beer, or you can use for cold drinks, or whatever. And I installed
for a kidney, like if you
for medical purposes. So I
no, or the black market.
Sure. I mean, you've got to keep them somewhere. You can't keep them in the kitchen with the rest of your food. You might fry it up by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in a fridge, and I'm quite chuffed with myself because I managed not only to put the fridge in and to balance it perfectly. I had to take out the base of the whole unit. I had to put in a thing to strengthen it in the middle. I had to cut the shelf in the middle in half and put this fridge in. I had so much fun doing it, though. It was, again, like it convinced me that if we don't keep ourselves busy, not just with things that make us think, but also with our hands, right? We've got to keep our hands busy. Otherwise, you know, what did the people say in the old days? Idle hands are the devil's work. You have got.
They do the devil's work.
You have got to do. You've got to do stuff. And here's the big kind of thought that I've had over the last week and a half. So I'm happy. Like, I can genuinely say my life is a happy place. I've got family that I love. I've got friends that I care about. I've got a business that I love. I've got colleagues that I enjoy working with. I've got plenty of intellectual stimulation. I'm not short on anything. Like, if I think about it, I should be very, very grateful for everything that's going on in my life. But I now need a new challenge. It's now time for something new to be thrown into the pile. This one friend of mine is doing his helicopter license. I thought that sounds cool. Another friend of mine wants to do his boat license to pilot boats, you know, to be a skipper. Another friend of mine is doing a motorbike license. Those are all forms of transport, but you get the idea. Like, they're doing something new. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do that's new? What, put in a fridge? Doesn't sound as good as those things, right?
Yeah.
So now I've got to
Why don't you go back to academia?
Academia? You think I should study again?
No, I don't know. Like for you, your normal thing is sort of, I mean, you're an intellectual guy. Would you maybe enter a powerlifting competition? Like, how far out of your comfort zone are you willing to go?
No, I'm not going to do. I could tell you.
No.
I'll tell you right now. If you're fishing in the powerlifting waters, you are wasting your time. That's not going to happen. But then, you know, I see something like this from Coco, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty fantastic. I like that a lot. I don't know.
YouTube is your friend.
YouTube?
Like, in terms of like picking up a new skill, in terms of learning something, you know, completely new.
Maybe it's time
something that you end up liking.
Maybe it's time for an instrument. Let's play the violin.
Do you want to abate sort of a midlife crisis picking up, like you say, better, slightly better at cooking carrots, or do you want to win at something?
No,
you want to get excellent at something.
Yeah, those are two different pursuits. There's no midlife crisis. If I don't keep moving forward, I stand still, and when I stand still for too long, I start getting irritable, self-destructive, and I start treating other people badly. So I've got to watch that very carefully.
So take up like archery. That's what I'm saying, is you have to be very clear. Is do I want to just pass time or do I want to get excellent at something? Because those are not the same. If you want to hang out with Jane and the girls at like Saturday Book Club and talk about your paintings, that's very different to doing archery and looking to maybe be in a competition in 3 years. You know what I mean? Is you'd probably have to start there. That's where I'd start anyway.
It's time to have a baby.
You think it's so I thought about that now, because that's a project, right? Like of all the projects, entering an archery competition dwindles into insignificance in comparison with raising an actual child and trying to make it a good person. But I've decided that's going to happen, Liban, but it's not going to happen right now. Not there yet.
Look, you led with the fact that you're happy. Mm. So in essence, it's not like there's something that's completely missing from how you set your life up.
Correct.
So the addition of a child is, if you know that you're happy, this could be the time.
Yeah, first I got to find someone to have the child with. And
I was going
to
say, there's a little step.
That is a major, major step that I haven't taken yet. Inga says,
that's probably the scarier part, isn't it?
No, that doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
It's not scary. I overhauled our old pine bedside tables, and now I'm obsessed. I trawl marketplaces for old furniture to revive. You see, that's cool. That's cool. No, so I'm not frightened of finding a wife, Bulelo. I think that's exciting. It doesn't frighten me. It's just I know for a fact I'm just not going to be able to respect is the wrong word. To consider some, ordinary, and I mean no disrespect by this, just some ordinary girl from, somewhere in South Africa. I'm not going to be able to look at that and go, she's worth giving up all that I've already. I'm not giving up, but adding her to the mix of things that I've already got. She needs to be like a Spanish Infanta or something. She needs to be an incredible. No, really, that's the only way I'd respect her. It sounds stupid. Oh,
I've told you this. All the great ones are taken, so you're gonna have to lower the bar a little bit.
It's got to be some absolutely blow me away, smart as hell. Just an incredible force of personality, because I've had relationships with girls like that before. None of them I wanted to marry. So we'll see. Nico says, what about pottery or woodwork? That could work. That could work. Carl says, don't have a kid. He says, don't have a kid. I have two. Fucking nightmare. I haven't slept in years. Bad idea. Do not do it. Yeah. See, that's the it is. Now, that's a real, Carl, you're a good man, because parents will never do what you've just done for fear of being called psychopaths and other things. They won't say that stuff to you, and the worst thing you want is to end up being told by other parents that you're a bad parent. Because they all talk. That's just anyway. In 10 years time, I would recommend taking up the lost art form of cursive writing, but we're not quite there yet.
Hectic.
No, but Michael's right. And
penmanship,
I mean,
a dying art.
So when I was a kid, I actually learned to do calligraphy. I didn't do a course or anything. I just used to, because my mother could do it. And then I bought a set of my own pens and I learned to do calligraphy. And I could still, I suppose, if I tried really hard, I could do it. Painting is something I enjoy doing, but I wouldn't, again, you don't do it professionally. You do it purely as a fun hobby. Maybe I should start, because everybody always jokes, well, you've got this laboratory. Maybe I should start a meth lab I haven't watched Breaking Bad yet, and I'll watch that, and that might persuade me that it's time to open a meth lab up. What do you think, Mbulelo? You like that idea, breaking the law?
Not a bad side hustle. People got to do what they got to do. So shout out to that. And, you know, Pretoria's on its way there anyway. You might as well just explode sort of meth addiction and just...
Yeah.
Tip him over the edge.
Right.
I had the misfortune of having to drive through Pretoria 2 weeks ago. So you guys are already on the way there. Let's put all of the drugs in there. Sold, brought to you by Gareth Cliff. It'll be awesome.
We can brand it.
We're branding specialists.
I could start a proper business. I mean, it would be great, right? And then I can even petition all the politicians that we've had on the show to make it all legal so that I don't even have to be breaking the law.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Gareth's drugs, a cliffhanger. Let's think really big. That's how we think big. Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. Start with your list of things that you can't do. You always say you can't use Excel. Oh my God. If I have to learn to use Excel as a way to stay from becoming stagnant, then I've done nothing right in my life and I deserve all the punishments that hell will serve up to me. Oh my God. Michael says, yes,
on a serious note,
a meth lab will lead to unexpected adventures and strange new friends. That's so great.
On a serious note, though, Gareth, you should do something epic. I mean, you've kind of, you know, I don't know if there's any mountain left for you in terms of the space we're in, certainly on this continent, right? I mean, there's yonder, beyond these shores, for sure, there's things you could do. But you should do something. Because the cerebral side of life, I think everyone knows that's your thing. You should do something out there. I don't know, like you should become a downhill skier or something like that, you know? Just something where people go, what the hell? I didn't know that was possible.
How about isiXhosa lessons at Stellenbosch University, online and fun?
Whoa!
You don't think that's a good idea?
Crawl before you can walk. Speaking Xhosa is dangerous.
Yeah. That is. You talk about the power of word. Yeah. If I can get those clicks right, I'll be happy. But at the moment, I'm about like 80% of the way. No. I don't know. Learning a new language is always fun, but that's tough. Start a cult. There's a good idea, Charles. Great idea.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Something epic, a cult that would go down in history, bro.
Mfundo, who worked with us for a while, he knows me quite well. He says, get into sport, golf maybe. Oof. Golf.
You might have to share. Oof.
Prepare to climb Kilimanjaro, says DK. I don't know about that, hey. I had a rush of blood to the head the other day and I decided I really am missing skiing though. I want to go back to the Alps at some point in the next year. I have to get it. Dude, I don't enjoy sport. I don't enjoy team sports. That stuff irritates me. I'm not big on learning a new physical skill like with soccer balls or any of that stuff. But maybe I could do skiing a bit better. Maybe that's something I want to do. But again, you know, it's such an expensive sport to take part in because you have to go there when it's snowing and you have to stay in these expensive places. And it's not easy. It's not cheap.
Hard to get brilliant as well. And I know you are a man of standards. That is one thing I'm so glad I started early. I got pretty good at snowboarding. It's very hard to ski if you're lucky two weeks a year and get brilliant.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here are some more ideas. Listen to this. And by the way, this goes for anybody else, not just for me. So if you're looking for something after 2 years of being locked down and you're feeling a bit of cabin fever and you want to do something different with your life, well, do we have the audience that can provide some answers to you? I mean, some of these ideas are not bad, huh? We've had everything from climb a mountain to, yes, Errol, says become a movie star or a singer. Yeah, that's so easy to do. But it's an interesting idea, right? I mean, I'd be a shit actor.
For sure.
But
you really got a head start.
I can possibly sing. I can't sing well, but I can do it possibly. I can do it substantially okay-ish to be able to get away with it.
Auto-tune.
I like the archery idea, says Rebellious Ruth. Yeah, I mean, it worked for Enrique Iglesias. Look, he made a career out of not being able to sing. Carl says, go into porn. It is easy and hard at the same time. Yeah, great idea. See? Such varied ideas here.
Yes. Yeah, look, we'd have to speak to Rena about that one first. And
Robin says, even though my girlfriend is addicted to meth, I still love her. She's so beautiful. Those lips, those eyes, that tooth. Bulelo, peer pressure Gareth into a half marathon. Ooh, hell. No.
I've already done that to my producer, James, on my show. So we'll be doing one.
I know. I heard
he
you.
Is, I he's heard the least you, in shape human ever.
My God, you, for someone who's not religious, did you preach to him the other day? Wow.
Yeah.
You went at him like an evangelical preacher. It was quite something to see. I felt bad for him afterwards.
You've got to do it. Well, and good. And he should feel bad. And he's doing something about it, which I respect him for, is let's get it done. You know what I always wish for people, and I'm evangelical about this. I wish people could experience for 6 months the feeling of being at your physical apex.
Yeah, but don't you see that?
Just experience that.
Yeah, but that's a very Mbulelo thing. And you go on about it like it's something everybody else wants. Yeah. Most of us don't want that. It's what you want.
No. You're
projecting because it's what you want. No.
When you've had the physical apex power, boy, oh boy.
I can tell you
now. We're okay.
Lebang and I are fine not having that. We really are.
No, I'll tell you what you don't want. I'll tell you what you don't want. You don't want the process to get there.
No.
Actually, what you're avoiding you don't is know the what... murder to get there.
No. Bulelo, this is where you overreach.
Nope.
Is you think you know what we want and we don't want. I swear to God on a pile of Bibles, and I can promise you, I could say this now, I could say this in 10 years' time, and I could say this 10 years ago. That is not a thing I'm interested in. It's just not interesting to me.
Bruh.
Lebang, you're the same, right? You don't want to run.
Dude, like a couple of years ago, one of my producers said, why don't you become the first black South African weightlifter? We don't have enough females in weightlifting. And I looked at him and I'm like, dude, have you seen me in a bikini? I think I'm doing quite okay. I don't need all that mess. I don't need all the hoo-ha. Like, sure, I've got a little bit of a beer bump, but hey, it works for me. I'm cool as long as I'm not like, you know, falling every time I go up the stairs, or as long as I'm not like suffering, like I know my health is okay, you know, outside of the throat stuff. But in terms of like wanting to be in the gym every single day, wanting to run marathons, I enjoy it. And there's times in my life where I'll, you know, get into it, but I can't say I've got this deep, deep desire to have an 8-pack. I'm so sorry, Mbulelo.
Here's an idea for Mbulelo. You could become a male stripper for elderly women. How about that, Mbulelo?
I'm totally open to it.
Yeah.
Totally open to it. And I'm in unbelievable shape right now, so totally open to it.
Woody's speaking my language. He says, buy a property on an island, and since you love architecture, you can build a zombie-proof bunker. I like that. That's a great idea. That really that does excite me. Get yourself on an adventure bike. Take a month or two around South Africa. Take your show on the road. You will meet amazing people off the main roads. Watch Itchy Boots. It's amazing. Okay.
Sounds dope.
Yeah. Gareth, adopt another dog to keep yourself and Carl young. Yeah, I need to. I wonder if anybody who's listening to this show can help me. So I've been struggling to find a breeder for those dogs. And I know people are going to say to me, oh, but you've got to go and get a rescue or whatever. I'll tell you what, I'm completely sold on this breed that Carl is. I will not get another kind of dog, so don't even try to get me to do that. There are lots of good people who adopt animals, and I love them, and good for them. And please don't stop your work as a result of anything I say. But I'm trying to find a breeder of Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and they're impossible to find. They really are impossible to find. So if anybody knows, if anybody on who listens to us on the show knows where I could find one of those, please let me know. Because I'm definitely in the market for one. All right. Let us. Oh, my God, no. Someone just suggested politics. That's not going to happen. That is a terrible idea. Right, Lebang? You're shaking your head and you know what? You know that's a terrible idea. Politics is not going to happen.
We've had this conversation before. You've been asked this a million times. It's simply not going to happen.
It's a terrible idea. And it would be bad for all of us. It would be bad mostly for me. So, all right.
Yeah.
In the news, first of all, Colin Powell is dead. I say Colin Powell, but we would pronounce it Colin Powell. We say colon when we're talking about our digestive tract. Anyway, he died, the former U.S. Secretary of State, of COVID complications. I actually saw him speak all the way back in the year 2000 at a conference I was at in San Francisco. Remember, in 2000, he had already been the general who went and started the first Iraq war. And he was the guy who President George H.W. Bush sent there to sort it out. He also became George W. Bush's first African-American Secretary of State in 2001. He sparked controversy for helping garner support for the Iraq war. And many people have spoken out about his death. We've lost a remarkable and loving husband, father, grandfather, and a great American, his family said in a statement, thanking the staff at the Walter Reed Medical Center for their caring treatment. President Joe Biden, calling Powell a dear friend, said he embodied the highest ideals of both a warrior and a diplomat, and then was heard off mic saying, "Who's that again?" Because he's demented.
And funny guy, Colin Powell. I had supper with him in Davos.
You did?
My mom introduced me to him. Yeah, funny guy. Like,
hold the press.
Really good sense of humor.
I saw him speak somewhere at like, you know, a couple of feet's distance, but you had dinner with him?
Yeah, my mother introduced me to him because my mom was doing some work in Davos, and we just happened to be there. So he had that thing. You could see, you know, some people are that guy.
Yeah,
he's that guy, like very, very funny and affable, and like just gets it. He had that thing. Like in South Africa, the one person I've met who's also got that thing is François Pina. Like when you meet François Pina, you're like, oh, I get it now.
Okay,
like you know, when you meet some people, you're like, oh, I see why you're the guy. Yeah, he was that guy. Like super charming, controls the room. Yeah, very, very, very cool.
Wow. Okay, well, look at you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to let that slide.
I know.
Like, this is like that $500 million question. Like, would you rather have dinner with Colin Powell or get $500 million?
Right, well, look at this. Look at our...
Well, my mom, it was my mom, not me, to be clear.
Well, still, you were there.
My mom set it up.
You were there. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I've done nothing.
So you're going to send them a letter of condolence or something?
Absolutely not. I've got stuff to do. I'm trying to run a business.
All right. Carl Niehaus. I know everybody loves Carl Niehaus. Carl Niehaus wants the public protector to investigate the ANC's financial woes. This guy. You know, I've always said to the ANC, and they never listen to me, I go, ANC, better to have someone in the tent pissing out than to have someone outside the tent pissing in. But did they listen? Hell no. So now they've got... Carl Niehaus, he, alongside some other aggrieved ANC staff members, have laid an official complaint against the party's national office bearers with a public protector. You see, he's got to find a reason to be around our Carl. So this is now his thing. He's going to cause trouble for the ANC outside. It's just amazing. Like this guy, you've got to give him credit at least for keeping himself relevant, right? Somehow, he's still in the national conversation. In September, he laid criminal charges against the top brass of the ANC, excluding Ace Magashule, because he likes Ace. He likes Ace and Getlehle Geisa. But the rest of the ANC, he says, can go to hell. He opened charges of fraud, theft, and corruption at the Joburg Central Police Station in September. Further charges laid by Niehaus included contravention of pay-as-you-earn regulations. I mean, listen, he's of course correct. Like, the ANC can't make a law for the country about paying people and being a good employer, and then they don't do it themselves, right? As much as we hate Carl Niehaus, you're not allowed to make laws for Gareth Mbulelo, Lebang, JJ Cornish, you, me. You can't do that, but then you don't even pay your people on time. Because the ANC will say to someone, oh, as an employer, you must pay people on time. And if you don't pay them, there are huge problems and huge issues that swing into action there. You can't say that and then not pay people yourself. So he's right. Even though he's a total asshole, he's right. Sometimes even an asshole is right. Right?
He's a twat.
Correct. Yeah, sorry. So you might just...
I thought you were gonna ride with Carl Niehaus there, but you still at the end managed to still get that knife in his back.
Well, come on. I mean,
I respect your consistency.
We know he's just nailing them where they're tender, but he's absolutely...
No, he's a politician. He's a shithouse. He's a politician. Let's be very clear. Yes. He's a shithouse.
But all of them are in the ANC. So when politicians, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So when Carl Niehaus goes after the ANC, And we all look at this and we go, hang on a second. He does have a point. The ANC, the people who've really screwed up labor law in this country, they keep telling us that they're in favor of the employee rather than the employer. But when they're an employer, the rules must count. Sorry. Last thing from the headlines this morning, because most of the headlines are deadly boring. Really, I'm not going to tell you about the ANC in Parliament who are aware of dysfunctional municipalities and promise to fix them. I mean, duh. What? We needed a headline to tell us that?
I don't think they are aware.
No, they are.
They're not aware.
Well, they pretend. No, I think they are. I think they're self-conscious frauds. I don't think they are surprised by what's going on. I don't think they're like, oh, you mean that Velkom is a disaster, like our guest the other day on the Burning Platform told us, Lito? I don't think they're suddenly surprised. I think they are aware that they have caused this in the ANC. I can't believe there are still people who think, no, they're all right. Anyway, here's one last thing. This is about an ancient object in the British Museum, which may interest people. It certainly interests me. The Nebra Sky Disc is believed to be 3,600 years old, dating to the Bronze Age. It was unearthed in Germany in 1999 and is considered one of the most important archaeological finds of the 20th century. Its discovery has also been controversial. A small number of scholars dispute its authenticity. It measures 30 centimeters in diameter, has a blue-green pattern emblazoned with gold symbols representing the sun, moon, stars, solstices, and other cosmic phenomena. According to UNESCO, which includes the artifact on its global list of important historical documents, the disc gives an unusual glimpse into humanity's early knowledge of the heavens. Do you want to see what it looks like?
Yes.
I'll show you. This is quite a cool thing. Nice thing. A cool thing. Let me just find this quickly. Hang on. It's a strange looking object. They're going to put it on display for the first time this week, I think. And I mean, people like me would go to the British Museum to see this, I suppose. There it is. Look at that. And they say,
"Oh no! Sorry, Gareth.
You think it's nonsense?
Oh no! I know what's going to happen now. Firstly, it's absolutely gorgeous, but the way they framed it with those two ladies in the back now,
yeah,
the justification this is going to give the yoga teaching people with a lizard tattoo on their ankle,
yes,
to say a Sagittarius,
yes,
and a Taurus can never be together because look at this 3,000. Oh no!
Yeah, that's
all the chakra hands.
Yeah, it's a problem." Just remind me.
But it's beautiful.
Remind me a little later. I got to tell you about this ad. I actually put it up on my Instagram because I couldn't believe something like this existed. And it's for wet yoga. But I'll tell you about that later. It's really odd. And it sounds like exactly the kind of stuff that Bulelo complains about when he talks about like suburban.
Did you say wet yoga?
Yeah, yeah. Bored suburban housewife. No, I'll tell you. I'm not going to tell you now. Don't spoil it.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you just now.
It's going
to
be messy.
No.
Oh.
All right. It is time for all of us to get to Africanalysis. This is our chance to catch up with JJ Cornish on all the big things going on in Africa. And we're going to look this morning at Swaziland, at the French and their continuing involvement in our continent, for good or for bad, and Sudan. So let's turn our attention immediately to Jean-Jacques Cornish. How are you, JJ?
Bonjour. I'm immensely well. Immensely
good.
Well.
Good, good, good. So what's happening in our neighbor? Yes, go ahead.
I had an absolute fear when you pushed the button that you were going to get Carl Niehaus's face instead of mine on the screen. You know, when you do get round to interviewing him, there's only one question to ask, and that is, Carl, do you have hemorrhoids or are you a perfect arsehole?
Oh, JJ, I'll leave the interview to you. I'll get him on and you can ask him that. All right. So
Wouldn't I love it? Yes.
Our neighboring country of Eswatini, I know you and I spoke about this last year, and it's just fallen from the headlines. It seems that King Mswati III is just about the only man in the whole world who can still get away with being an absolute autocrat. And nobody seems to want to or try to correct his behavior. He's just carrying on like an absolute monarch in the year 2021, when we thought Louis XIV had been the last to say, l'état c'est moi. It's not true. This guy doesn't seem to care, and he just gets away with it. There are still people in prison in Eswatini, right?
Yes, and they've killed dozens of protesters in recent months. You know, my teeth go on edge when people talk about him as the last absolute monarch in Africa, because M6, you know, Mohammed VI in Morocco is the other. So we have two left. I think I might have told you the story. I was covering something in Eswatini once when the television cameraman next to me went mockador. He started, and started yelling.
Oh, God.
And I thought that he'd had a seizure and something terrible had happened. Turns out, though, that, you know, the parsimonious king was using a praise singer as the official television man.
Oh, my God.
And he literally was holding onto the camera, screaming out praise for the king. I turned to a Swazi friend and said, surely, he said, you know what? You should have been with us in Germany last week when he did this.
Oh, my God.
German security rushed in and wrestled him to the ground.
Can
so
you imagine?
I don't know. Swazi television must have bought, you know, footage from someone else because they didn't get their own.
Good heavens.
But what a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mswati III is a very, quite an engaging guy to speak to. But the fact is, the pupils who've been out for a long time, they only went back to school about, couple of weeks back and began or resumed their protests immediately. And they've cracked down. The thing is, they are calling for an end to Mswati III, calling for the end to his autocratic rule. And I think that hurts him more than anything else. And they are taking to the streets. They're not going to class. The police have cracked down. And on the 13th, they killed a protester. And that, as I say, meant they killed dozens in the last month. So the king now has determined the immediate and indefinite closure of schools. So I don't see what happens there in Swaziland now. How they restore order, I don't know. And what is South Africa going to do? We often come in there with a relatively heavy hand to say, hey, you know, you're our fully encircled neighbor. You will behave the way we want you to.
We don't anymore. I mean, it seems that you would have to set explosives under our Department of International Relations for them to actually say something or do something about Swaziland. It's a disaster. Bulela, I saw you holding your hand in your head, your head in your hands just now. I mean, do you have family or friends in Swaziland? Do you have people that you speak to there often? Because I think it's outrageous that these people are, you know, 5 hours drive from Johannesburg and they are living in an autocracy. It's crazy.
You know, JJ, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago and he disagreed with me, I think slightly from what I took, is that, you know, we live in a time where we want to think we are Europe or America who have had the jump on us for whatever historical reasons on establishing democracy, is that unfortunately, I don't think we can have the soft hand that is being preached and practiced in places like Davos, is that do something and make it happen. Like, we cannot police this region how we police Switzerland and this idyllic nature. Is like, we need to do something, because if not, that will spill into our country. And we have enough problems here because we've been mucking about for so long. So Jean-Jacques, I hope we do something, and I hope we got to tighten our hands around the throats there, in my opinion. And I don't see another option now because we've left it too long.
It brings the Colin Powell maxim into play. If you break it, then you own it. And he said that to the Bush about going into Iraq. Mm-hmm. Well, the same applies. If we really go in with a heavy hand and change the regime or do something in Swaziland, we own it. And we'll own all the problems. We will own the highest per capita HIV rate in the world, you know. So, yes, I fully agree with you. I certainly don't disagree that we should get tough. And certainly in this case, with the eyes of the world are on us as much as on Swaziland in terms of that. We play the moral high ground or claim it. We need to ensure that it is implemented in our neighbors. You know, interestingly, Gareth Canthan and I went to Swaziland when we were working for independent newspapers at that time, before they became the enemy.
Yes.
We went there to buy a Swazi newspaper, and we looked and spoke, and it just became absolutely plain that this newspaper would have nothing like freedom of expression. And, you know, however profitable we might have made the newspaper, it just would not be something that we could hold up. So we just recommended to our bosses, forget about it.
Hmm. Tell us quickly about the French. Apparently, Emmanuel Macron says that the killing of Algerian protesters in Paris 60 years ago was an unforgivable crime. But unforgivable crimes are still happening all over Algeria, and in fact, all over North Africa at the moment, some of them at the hands of the French, some of them at the hands of other people and actors. Really, this is, it seems like, you know, again, we're very good at assigning blame to people who are capable of admitting that blame themselves. But there are things that are far more important that are happening right now that we don't seem willing to deal with. Is this going to make the Algerians feel better, or is this just about France looking virtuous?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is France's ability to say things went terribly wrong without actually issuing a formal apology, which means they will have to cough up.
Yes.
But this was 60 years ago, October 17, 60 years ago, and just before the Liberation War. And what had happened was the French were protesting against a curfew, which involved only Algerians. Algerians were put under curfew, so 30,000 of them took to the streets. Now, a certain Nazi sympathizer, he was put in charge. Maurice Papon was put in charge of this, and he said, get tough. And they did. And they shot a number of these protesters. Well, you know, the French at the time said there was a handful, maybe five, maybe three that died. Historians accept that it was at least 50. Algerians claim it was 300. But the bodies were thrown into the Seine, and it was, you know, it was hidden for years and years and years.
Unbelievable.
Maurice Papon was awarded the Légion d'honneur in the same year. You know, that's the French knighthood. Well, he did have that removed in 1998 for being party to the deportation of Jews to concentration camps during the war. But, you know, that hasn't made things better for the Algerians. I don't imagine, unless they got an official apology, will be happy with this. They're going to say this is part of, and their liberation war was certainly one of the bitterest ever yeah. fought. The Algerians say that not a single family in Algeria went untouched in that struggle.
Good heavens. We've got limited time, but I do want to find out about what's happening in the Sudan. We talked about Sudan just the other day as a country that we wanted to focus in on. And it seems their military leadership are looking to start another coup. What's going on there?
Well,
since Omar al-Bashir left, it just hasn't got better for them, has it?
Well, you know, they did start this transformation, civilian military transformation, and that seemed to be working. And certainly it did things like remove them from the terrorist, the United States terrorist. And yes, things seem to be working for them to some extent. And we do then have Abdullah, the prime minister. But unfortunately, 2 weeks ago, there was an attempted coup that failed. And the military have now stepped in and said, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the pressure is on him to just declare another coup because it seems to be that Omar al-Bashir's backers were behind the coup, the failed coup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of confusion there now. There's a lot also of economic problems. You know, they don't have the bulk of the oil. South Sudan, which seceded, has the oil, as we explained last week, and the oil is tapped through Sudan. Now, the demonstrators were suddenly able to get right up to the walls or the gates of the presidential palace. Hasn't happened with other demonstrations.
Sure.
Very low police present. Also hasn't happened in other demonstrations. So there seems to be some complicity in this, allowing this big demonstration, and the demonstrators calling for away with the hunger government, they're calling it, the government that has removed fuel subsidies that enabled them to run businesses and run their houses and motor cars, inflation soaring in the country. So economically, they're feeling it. In the back sky, they're feeling it terribly. And the military, I think, get a sense that if they can step in and bring some kind of relief and order, they will be thanked for this. But certainly the civilian part of the government is saying this is just a potential power grab. And Abdullah Hamdok has been talking about this, the prime minister saying we cannot allow it. So they've got to hold fast. And this is a time for Africa, I think, to step in and help out as much as it can.
Sounds messy, but then that part of the world is always a little bit messy. JJ, it's always good to see you, and thank you very much for joining us this morning. Africanalysis is, of course, brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School, and we're looking at what happens on the African continent 1 or 2 weeks at a time. JJ, it's always great to have your insights on these things. Thank you very much. Here we go. There's a look at Sudan and of Swaziland and at Algeria. And those are just the top line stories that we could fit in for this morning with JJ. Yeah, pretty interesting places and interesting things going on there too. Robin says she's reading Democracy Works by Greg Willis, Olusegun Obasanjo, and of course Jeffrey Herbst. That's an interesting, I would love to see what Robin's takeaways are from that book. Michael says, sadly, democracy is simply the act of a country being conned into a two-part stalemate whose ongoing dogfight then endlessly distracts the citizens from having a grasp on reality. Jeez, not cynical at all this morning, huh, Michael? Wow.
Well, Socrates said the same thing a long time ago, not a proponent of democracy. So, Michael, not too far off there.
Wasn't it Aristotle? Not Socrates.
No, well, Socrates, I mean, well, before the hemlock, I mean, as you know, famously for what he was killed for, was he was always questioning the generals and things like that. And he said, not every vote should count the same. And he despised the notion of democracy because not every vote should count the same and not everyone should be allowed an opinion in what goes on.
Yeah, the problem
he was not a fan, by the way.
Problem with that is
not a proponent.
No, well, problem with his system is that how do you decide who does get the votes? Because then you end up...
I mean, that's the ongoing
struggle.
Then
you end up with trouble because someone says, oh, well, okay, only people with a university degree can vote. Not fair. Or they say only people who employ people can vote. And for every employee, you get a vote. Only people who have a matric could vote. I mean, how do you determine this? Because what is it based on?
Well, I'll tell you what Socrates might have said, because he did say it. He said,
qualified franchise.
The point of progress, the way to have progress is not to think about fairness. Fairness is not part of the game.
Right.
Is if you want progress, push fairness out the back door. That is not, Socrates was never interested in fairness. Yeah.
Then I may just agree with Socrates, because I also think fairness. So there are a couple of things that we seem to prioritize above all else in the world today, and they are fairness, equality, non-judgmental, what do we call it? We call it tolerance. These are things that we seem to prioritize above all else at the moment. And I don't know whether it's helping us to move civilization forward. I'm not saying that those are bad things. I think they're probably very good things. But they need to be counterbalanced with what actually moves a civilization forward. And I don't think we've made as much of a move forward since we've started adopting these very soft tactics with each other. You know,
I'm not a proponent of fairness, so I agree there, but I'm biased because I don't believe in fairness. So
yeah, okay.
So that's tough, but that's tough.
All right. Well, we're not going to get into that now this morning. We've got other things to talk about. I've got an email here from Carl. He says, hey, Gareth, I listened to your show on Friday on the way to work and find that people who leave the country for different reasons is a very interesting discussion. I couldn't find work in my industry, even though there are a lot of companies out there. The amount of people applying for the same job is huge, and it's not like South Africa has a lack of workers. It's who can do the job at the best price. I got approached by a company in New Zealand, and I couldn't turn down the offer. We had to leave our family, our animals, and our friends behind. We couldn't lend money from family anymore to survive. We had jobs, but it didn't pay enough to make the bills. When I got a job, when I got that job in New Zealand, everything just fell into place to get there. We both have good jobs now, but we miss our families terribly. What do you do? We need to look after our kids and ourselves and not be a financial burden to everyone else. Our family will never say that we're a burden, but you can only ask for money so many times, and we have our pride too. So I thought that was an interesting counterpoint. Yeah. You know, if you can't find a job and someone in another place offers you a job and you have to take it, I don't begrudge you that at all. I think that's a great move.
I love that person.
Yeah, so well done.
Absolutely. I love the person who just emailed that.
Yeah.
Wow, what a powerful email.
Mm-hmm. That's just
way to take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, it's where the rubber hits the road.
I like that.
You have to deal with, you know, with what the cards you are handed, and you've got to play them the best way you can. And I think that's a great way to play them. It's interesting. I don't know if you've been watching Bitcoin, and we'll probably check in with Sean tomorrow. But my God, $62,422 this morning. And it's just been, it's been on a mad tear at the moment. So if you've been watching the cryptocurrencies, and if you're still invested in cryptocurrency, which I hope you are, because that's kind of the message that we've been putting out there for a while, good for you. You will be smiling like an idiot this week. So if you think that that's, if you think it's reached its peak, then maybe you want to cash out. But otherwise, I would say stick around. This is the time for it to keep going up and up and up. But let's see. I mean, what do I know? I might be confused.
Sean's going to buy a yacht soon. He's going to do the Revix podcast from a yacht, just flex on us.
Can you imagine? All right, so I saw saw this ad, okay, for wet yoga class. Let me just show you the picture here because I want to show there. All right, so it's got this woman.
Oh, my God.
So I'll read what it says there for you in a second. It's got this woman on it. It says, you've got to hold the space. Now, all of this language drives me up the wall, right? Hold the space. I've never, ever used that language in my life, hold the space. But anyway, it says, wet yoga class. You will be completely soaked in herbal liquid. Attendees must learn to fold and unfold their genitals. Who knows what that means? Do not attend if you can't hold your breath for 33 lunar seconds. What's a lunar second? Anyway.
I don't know. Is that on the moon? How do they know?
Buckets and rags are available for $6. There is a free tree bark snack provided. Free tree bark snack provided. Obviously, you're not allowed to eat meat, or in this case, onions, for 48 hours before class. In brackets, there will be loud screaming. This is what, and I have every reason to believe this is an actual thing. This is not bullshit. Here, I'm going to try and show you the woman in the picture who, that's her, right?
Can you see? Look at that hair.
Amazing.
Look at that.
She looks
woman.
Exactly what, like, wow.
So I said here, this is what happens when women who have never done any work live past marriageable age in the suburbs. I know that's cruel and I'm going to get a lot of shit for it, but honestly, that's just, you know, really. It's the fact that this stuff. And
tree bark.
Free tree bark snack provided. Because, you know.
She had me screaming in the buckets. Like, where do I sign up? I want to let out a scream from time to time.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people probably do.
Now, the weird part, and I'm going to try and read this, but it's an extremely small print. Please bring a signed waiver. This is what it says right at the bottom. Please bring a signed waiver agreeing to allow the great horned owl to observe you silently during the duration of your wet yoga practice.
Cult.
It's a cult.
So she wants to sleep with all the young boys.
It's not her. Yeah, I think it's probably a man. There's always a man at the end of these things who's trying to get women to get naked and fold and unfold their genitals. You know what that is.
It's probably her man.
It's a cult.
It's her man.
Yeah.
And she's just the face.
There we
go. And he's saying, gather all these young, unknowing people who want to scream in buckets and eat tree bark. Mm-hmm. Bring them forth, my child, my wife, so I can molest them. That's all that's happening.
Right. Precisely correct. A lunar second. Wow. What is a lunar second? Is that even a scientific measurement, or is that something that cult people make up? I want to look it up right now. Lunar second. Let's see. It's obviously what a second would be on the moon, right? But I mean, so it's about 0.36 seconds.
What?
Oh, no. Hang on.
So it's
wrong.
A third?
No.
Wait.
All right. A lunar second is a time interval defined as 0.984352 terrestrial seconds. So
it's a second.
It's a second.
It's a normal second. I mean,
it's a second.
What a lot of shit. And they work on what? Lunar Standard Time. That is outrageous. Yeah. Oh, these cults must be stopped from their tracks. These people, they send along a team of police and arrest everyone there. Arrest them all. Then release the women who've been victimized. And then put the man in charge of this cult in jail forever. Unbelievable.
Do you guys remember that documentary on Netflix? Was it Bikram? Or it was like a yoga documentary about like the origin.
Yes.
Do you remember how disgusting that actually was?
Mm-hmm.
For years and years, this yoga phenomenon was really just a cover-up for this grown man just having his way with women's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, and there was Bikram
at the Thrupp Center in Illovo.
Yeah.
And the ladies just couldn't wait to tell you how she's just hot yoga. It's everything. It's changed my relationship, actually. Yeah, well, it's also changed the lives of young women everywhere in India. Because of
it's amazing. Isn't it it's amazing, though, how many people are just, they're so desperately seeking things that they'll fall for this crap. Hold the space, people. Just hold the space for my wet yoga session. It's going to be amazing. All right, enough. We got to get to a whole lot of other stuff in the next half hour to hour. And don't you go anywhere. We'll catch up in a moment. CliffCentral.com on Tuesday, the 19th of October. CliffCentral.com.